Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, you're going to get what you want, which is a lot of Russell Johnson as the early signing period, which I think is stupid. We'll get Russell's thoughts on it in a minute. It's on Wednesday. I think Ole Miss is going to be pretty active. It's going to be an active day. There's going to be a lot of drama, not necessarily with Ole Miss, but around the country. And then there's going to be fallout that we'll talk about in a little bit. And the fallout will be, there'll be a lot of gnashing of teeth. Those teeth shouldn't gnash because it was completely predictable that this would be the way that it is going to end up being. Anyway, we'll talk to Russell about all things recruiting in just a moment. But first, let me tell you about Pelias Pecans. It is, as we tape this, it is Monday, December the 18th, Christmas Day, is 1 week from today. So when you hear this, Christmas Day is 6 days away. It's not too late for you to order from Pelias Pecans. It's Billy's gifts at billyspecans.com. You can email. If you want your logo on the gift, they can do that. You can even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want to that special person. Go to the site, billyspecans.com, billyspecans.com. See what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. Get on it now. You might have to get a little bit, pay a little bit more for shipping, but you can still get it to the people that you want to send last-minute Christmas gifts to. It's billyspecans.com. Email gifts, that's G-I-F-T-S. That's a word for some reason I can't say. Gifts at billyspecans.com or call 1-800-624-7404 and Stacy or Bailey will assist you with your gifting needs. Russell, you've been busy. How you been?
I've been real busy. Keeping my phone charged has been a challenge the past couple of weeks. It's only going to get worse from here.
Well, it actually will get worse for about 3 days, and then it will die off.
Yeah, it'll die off, and that's when I'll send the copy and paste message to about 100 different recruits checking in to see if they signed early. And if I don't see that they signed early, then asking them where they plan on taking official visits, and that'll be a fun, nice way to get back going.
Okay, let's start there, though. The gift, the dead period has begun. It goes until when?
It goes until, I believe, January 12th.
Okay, so between the signing period starts Wednesday, it goes for 3 days. Is
yes.
that right? You have
until
Wednesday,
Friday.
Thursday, and Friday to sign?
Yes.
And then it's back into a completely dead period.
Yes, that is correct.
All right, let's talk about Wednesday. What do you expect? We'll start small picture, and then I do want to get your thoughts because you talk to a lot of these kids, you talk to coaches, you talk to handlers and slash people and stuff.
I talk to everybody.
So I'm curious. We'll start here. What do you expect for Ole Miss on Wednesday?
I expect 10 of the 12 commitments to sign. The only commitments I do not expect to sign are Deontre Hyman from Meridian High School and Ja'Cory Hawkins from Montgomery Lee. I also expect two other recruits to commit on Wednesday and sign with Ole Miss.
Okay, of the two that aren't signing, is there a particular reason why? Is it because they're just kind of keeping their options open?
I think Hawkins is keeping his options open, and Hyman, he's just been so quiet throughout his whole recruitment. No one really knows what's going on there. For all we know, Alabama could swoop in at the last minute the night before signing day and kind of pick back up with him because they had shown a lot of interest early on. With Hawkins, Hawkins wants to take some official visits. I know in the past he had almost committed to Missouri, but his family wanted him to stay closer to home. So what could be happening with him is he could be waiting to see if, you know, Auburn or Alabama does open up that spot. And he also is going to take his official visit with Tank Jenkins to Ole Miss the same weekend, which is another one of Ole Miss's top targets on the board.
I'm jumping around a little here, and I should know these things, but what are the big official visit weekends in January?
It'll be the 19th and the 26th. Those will be the
big. So the 26th will be the big one, or the 19th will be the big one?
I'd say the 26th will be the big one. There's going to be at least 8 or 9 4 stars on campus.
Okay. All right, so there's two guys. I know you don't want to give away content here, and I don't want you to. The two guys that could potentially sign on Wednesday that aren't current commitments.
Yes.
It's Jalen Cunningham,
mm-hmm.
who's a ranked by a lot of people as a defensive lineman.
But, yeah, he's ranked as a defensive lineman, but
he's probably an offensive guard at the next level.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's Ole Miss or Alabama?
Yes, 100%. Ole Miss or Alabama.
Alabama, if they offer. He's an Alabama kid.
Yes, if they call him and say, we want you on this team, there's no doubt in my mind he would say, okay, let's do it, Roll Tide.
Okay. And then who's the other?
The other one is Vernon Dasher, the linebacker who visited this past weekend. He is from Coffeyville Community College in Kansas, and his other main suitor was Kansas State. And Kansas State really seems to be loading up on JUCO linebackers. They're going to be taking a couple that Ole Miss was after and in on early. So, I mean, with him, it's just a matter of, is he going to play on the inside or the outside, because Ole Miss has needs at both positions.
Yeah, that is such a position of need, which sort of leads to my next question. There's a tendency, and I'm not criticizing fans when I say this. I'm not at all, because I get it. Everybody loves rankings. We make a living off rankings.
Yes.
Coaches pay attention to rankings. If you ever hear a coach tell you we don't pay attention to rankings, that coach just lied. Coaches pay attention to rankings. That being said, for Ole Miss this particular season, I mean, I've covered this team. There are clear needs. They can't get obsessed with rankings this year.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
So give me a rough idea. If everything worked out generally like they wished it would, this is a class that's going to have 21, maybe 22 signees when it's all said and done. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Give me you have to be detailed, but give me a rough breakdown on positionally how that's going to look.
Okay, so then, I mean, I can get into depth. At quarterback, you're going to take one. You're going to take Matt Corral, okay, who obviously committed last week. At running back, you have to count back Isaiah Woolard from last year's class. So that's already two with Scott Phillips. They want to add a third. They really, really want to add a third.
Because that's a position of great need on that roster from a number standpoint.
You have no idea who's going to start a running back next year right now. You have no clue.
Well, the truth is, the one proven running back on that roster is gone, and Jordan Wilkins.
Exactly.
And Devon Pendleman has had moments, and Eric Swinney has had moments. But neither one, I don't think you could say either one is a proven SEC running back to this point.
Right.
You certainly could not say that about DK Buford, who's had a moment or two, but not nearly enough to go, that's our guy, hand him the ball. I mean, they need candidates to put in there.
Especially now that they run an offense where you see the possibility of getting a running back to 1,000 yards. I think that really will attract some different talents that may not have been interested when all they see is the NWO and all the receiver hype. Seeing that Jordan Wilkins did rush for 1,000 yards could factor into be a big thing going into February signing day.
So one quarterback, three running backs if it all worked out.
They're going to take three receivers as of today. DeMarcus Gregory is going to sign on Wednesday, obviously, and then they want to take two more. They've been fighting to take a fourth, and depending on how everything else works out, they could do that, but I really don't see the – I guess that would kind of go back to what you were talking about with the stars. I mean, in the rankings. If you want to get a high ranking, yeah, sign four receivers, sign four stars. But if you want to fill the needs and get more defensive linemen and linebackers, that's what you're going to have to do.
So for the people out there listening, because I guarantee you people are, what do you mean they're fighting? I know what you mean. For the fan that's out there, what do you mean there's fighting? Kind of explain what you're saying there.
Assistant coaches are going back and forth on trying to take a spot. Like, there may be a certain amount of spots at the wide receiver position, and then you've got Van Jefferson and Trey Nixon transferring. And with that, you're going to need to fill their spot. And then at tight end, you might not actually need one. You might just give Dawson Knox a scholarship. So there's a lot of fighting between the offensive and defensive assistants, not like literal fist fighting, but people who they want to take that spot and give it to a receiver, and they feel that could be a better fit than just adding another linebacker who might not ever actually see the field.
So you're saying Freddie Roach is beating up Jacob Peeler right now? Is that what you're saying?
Breaking news here on the Softball Podcast.
Wow, a lot of tension inside that building. Fights, physical fights going on. Matt Luke has lost control of his staff. And in the end, Luke makes the call, right? I mean,
Luke makes the call. Luke definitely makes the call, and he will do what's best for the team. I mean, that's all he can do.
So one quarterback,
yeah,
three running backs, three receivers. Mm-hmm. That's got me at seven.
Yeah, there's a tight end in the mix, Glenn Beal from John Curtis in Louisiana. He's the only realistic tight end target they have left on the board. And if they don't land him, they're just not going to take a tight end in this class.
What's his situation?
From Louisiana, going to LSU probably. I mean,
LSU's offered.
Yeah, LSU's offered.
He's John Curtis.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to LSU.
Yeah. And then on the offensive line, they want to take 1-2. Obviously, like we were talking with Jalen Cunningham, they do see him on the offensive line at the next level. And then they also want to potentially add a tackle, which would be a nice thing to do, especially with Greg Little not graduating, but
he's gone after this year.
Yeah, he's gone after this year regardless.
Yeah.
And then when you flip over to the defensive side of the ball, they want to take as many defensive linemen as they can, I would say.
So you have them taking as few as 8 or 9 offensive players.
Yeah.
And so going 12 to 13, maybe even 14 defensive players?
Yeah, that's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then linebacker, they want to take between 3 to 5. They want to take between 3 to 5 linebackers. I mean, the more you can take, the better. And if you can get somebody who can make an instant impact, that's what you're going to do. At the cornerback position, they want to take two. They want to take two corners. They've got a couple still on the board. They've got J.C. Horn from Alpharetta, who's flirting with a lot of schools. That's another thing I kind of wanted to get into, a little warning. There's quite a bit of these recruits who are strictly using their hashtags on Twitter, and they're doing everything they can to get Twitter followers. They're not interested in your school. They don't care about Ole Miss. They may say they do. They want their Twitter followers. They want attention. That's all they want.
I am shocked.
It is horrible. Like, you saw it when Corral committed. You would see, like, I hate to say his name, but Jacob Copeland from Florida go out and say, I see you, Matt Corral, and talk to me about it and be like, yeah, I'm definitely interested. But, I mean, there's no sense of the reciprocation in that interest. Copeland's been like that his entire recruitment process.
I almost have to take a break here. I mean, I'm stunned. I'm stunned that you would tell me that kids would be reaching out for attention via social media.
Yes, it is.
Is this a new thing?
No, it's not a new thing, but it's gotten a lot bigger, and it's gotten so obvious.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, sometimes you see it, and you're like, come on, man. I mean, this kid's just playing. You can tell he's just playing.
Right, and I've learned to ignore those.
I don't really fault the kid for playing. It's their one chance to have some attention, and for a lot of them, that's just too much to pass up. Okay. All right, so let's talk about Matt Corral a little bit. You broke that story. You were the first person that I saw. If somebody else did it, my apologies to you out there in podcast land. You were the first person that I saw say, this kid's going to flip. He's going to flip from Florida. Yeah. He's going to flip to Ole Miss. He's had some off-the-field issues. How big of a deal those are or aren't, I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's a huge deal.
Right. We'll leave it up for interpretation. If Ole Miss thinks he's okay to take,
From what I can gather, it hasn't been a huge deal. It's just been little stuff. He flipped from USC to Florida when USC dropped him.
Yes.
He flipped to Florida. Florida had a coaching change. Things got a little weird there, as any program does with coaching change.
Mullen was shooting for the stars.
Yeah, he's going for it.
Justin Fields, who's signing with Georgia on Wednesday, he lost that battle.
Yeah.
Emory Jones, who left his official visit to Florida to go to Florida State. So that's interesting to see as well. I mean, I still do think Emory could very well end up in Gainesville, but it was just interesting to see him leave early to go to Tallahassee.
Dan's got a funny personality.
Yeah, he does.
And at places like Florida, it's going to take him a little while to find his footing if he finds it.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little while. Those kids, he was able to recruit. I thought he did a great job at State with recruiting a lot of three-star kind of kids and developing them.
Yeah, I would say State definitely, they excelled at developing the kids.
But now you're at Florida and you're recruiting more prima donnas. That's PRIMADONNAS, not pre of the formerly popular pop singer. you're recruiting a different kind of kid. So he doesn't get Matt Corral. Matt Corral flips to Ole Miss. What What is your anticipation for how Matt Corral's commitment and signing on Wednesday with Ole Miss changes their class? What coattails does he have? I know fans talk about, well, there's going to be dominoes and there's going to be that kind of thing. And sometimes that comes to fruition. Usually, frankly, it does not.
Right.
What do you sort of anticipate there?
With Corral, Corral has relationships all over the country. Like I had mentioned a moment ago, one of his good friends who he was committed to Florida with was Jacob Copeland. But I don't see Ole Miss getting back in on him. There's quite a few receivers that he's close with, such as Marquez Ezard from Stockbridge, who was actually supposed to visit with him the weekend that he was here, but the snowstorm in Atlanta kind of shut that down. And then you've also got Miles Battle, another receiver from Texas, and then Elijah Moore from St. Thomas Aquinas in Florida, who's committed to Georgia, but it's not going to be reciprocated. That's going to change pretty quickly.
So you're saying Georgia's going to drop him?
Yes, that was a nice way of me saying that.
Okay.
And on the offensive line,
I'm not a nice guy. Let's just get down to it.
Yes, Richard Garage, a 4-star offensive tackle who's been committed to Florida with Corral for quite some time, has been mentioned several times when I talk to people around both Corral and Garage as a possible domino. Because I actually had mentioned the dominoes as well. Because when you see someone as highly touted and is at one point he was a 5-star, obviously, as Matt Corral was. Usually kids are going to want to follow, kind of like the Justin Fields effect when he committed to Georgia. Several recruits followed pretty quickly. With that, you've also got a couple of defenders. Chris Oates, it obviously opened his eyes a little bit when he saw Corral commit. And there were also a couple corners, like I had mentioned, J.C. Horn from Alpharetta. And then quite a few JUCO kids were kind of taken aback by the whole thing as well. Obviously, the national, not agenda, I won't say agenda, I'll leave that word to the other people, but the mindset of people in Ole Miss recruiting is, oh, cheating Bears are back to it. But it seems like Ole Miss is gathering momentum on the recruiting trail, partially because of the continuity they have by keeping the staff in part, at least currently.
Okay, so I guess back to kind of the we'll go here. We'll get back to Ole Miss in a minute. We'll get back to that. What do you anticipate around the country Wednesday? Is there how many are there, do you anticipate there being a lot of kids that say, "Hey man, I know I could sign today, but I'm kind of not ready to commit. I'm not ready to put my you can commit all day. You know, I'm committed. Hashtag
respect my decision.
Respect my decision. Hashtag hook 'em. Hashtag whatever. Because that's whatever. Do whatever you want to do on
right.
Twitter.
That's a verbal commitment.
It means nothing."
It's a soft verbal.
It is. It is. But it just doesn't mean anything. It's when they sign their name to an NLI and FedEx that puppy in, you're committed for a year.
Yeah.
You are locked in for 1 year. And I kind of think some of these kids are going to be told, hey, be careful. That coach that you're committed to, that wide receiver coach or that DB coach or whatnot, he's leaving. Like in a couple of days, he's leaving in a week. He's leaving soon. How much chaos do you anticipate on Wednesday, or do you think it's going to go somewhat smoothly?
I think, like you mentioned, there's going to be quite a bit of assistant coach turnover shortly thereafter, after the signing period. I don't know if it'll happen directly after, and maybe it'll wait till after Christmas. I mean, it depends on how many people want to continue to sit on their stories, because there are some stories ready to be broken in terms of assistant coaches getting ready to change jobs.
Yes.
And with that, you've also got the smaller tier schools of, you know, the Memphises and the Southern Misses, and I hate to say it, Kentucky. Several of their commitments are considering not signing early, and you've got their coaches contacting these kids, and they're like, listen, either you sign now or your scholarship is null and void. And they're literally trying to scare the kids into signing the letter of intent. That way that they don't have to worry about the Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, any of those schools coming into the picture late and swooping away. Like Kentucky lost Jaren Williams, and when they lost him to Miami, they were so upset that they had started mentioning a possible August signing period, because if that were the case, then they would be able to discover the talent that they do and go ahead and sign them, which is something that Kentucky has wanted for quite some time, as well as Memphis, but it just hasn't come to fruition. And like you said, there's going to be chaos.
You think this lasts more than a year or two?
I think 2 years. I think it's going to be a major topic of discussion because a lot of coaches are going to, I wouldn't say lose relationships they've built with high school coaches around, but people are going to kind of start to look at them with a little bit of a, not a glimmer, but, you know, just like, you know, I don't really believe you. There's going to be quite a bit of that. You know, like as Rob Cassidy has said several times on our podcast, it's Lion season. And that's just going to continue. There's even going to be assistant coaches changing after the February signing day.
And that always happens.
Yeah, so you really can't stop it.
Is there a fix to it? Was there even a need for an early signing period?
No, there really wasn't. I mean, if you want to get the early enrollees on campus, you can. You could do that before this early signing period
started. They were already enrolling on campus.
Exactly. So, no, there really wasn't a reason for it. It just, maybe it makes, I don't know, more money. Maybe they're going to have the ESPNU television special.
See, I don't think it's that. I think people thought this would clean up some of the chaos of February. And maybe it will. So that's my next question. So for a program like Ole Miss, they're going to sign 10 to 12 guys on Wednesday,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be at least halfway and maybe a little more than halfway done with their class. How will that impact what they do when the dead period ends?
Well, I see a lot of their current class, the commits and everything that are signing, I see a lot of needs being filled. And with that, they can, I wouldn't say shoot for the stars, but when they get these 4 stars on campus, they can sell their early playing time and they can take the chance that they couldn't possibly have taken before when they have the time and the effort and the resources to do so because they were too busy talking to these other kids that were previously committed. Like, you know, no offense to Cam White and Katie Hill and Jonathan Hess and Jaquez Jones, they're all going to, you know, potentially make an impact in their time at Ole Miss. But when you've got kids such as Cam Jones from Mansfield, Texas, Chris Oates from Winton Woods, Ohio, Richard Garage from Florida, Tang Jenkins from Alabama, when you've got your chance to woo these kids, you've got to take the chance, especially when you're Ole Miss right now and you need all of the momentum you can get.
I was gonna ask you something about just kind of that along those lines. How much more attention does this for Ole Miss in particular? And I've said this all along. I think the 2019 class is going to define Matt Luke.
I agree 100%. I wrote that in an article on RebelGrove.com this weekend.
It's either going to be the class that gives them the kind of momentum to completely put this NCAA thing away and build their program and get back to being competitive quickly, or it's going to be, because nothing against this class that's going to sign this year. It's going to be fine.
I agree 100% with everything you're saying. So,
but if you put 4 or 5 of the classes that they're going to sign this year together, you're not going to be competitive in the SEC.
No, you're not.
There's not enough impact. There's not enough impact. So the 2019 class is the one that has to be impactful. Is this going to free up more time for them to work on those guys, or was that already the plan anyway?
I mean, it definitely does free up more time, especially when you have the NLIs in. You don't have to, I don't know how to say this, you don't have to babysit. Yeah, you don't have to babysit. You don't have to make sure that they're sticking. You don't have to do any of that. So, yeah, they could definitely begin to focus more on the 2019 class. I know you saw a couple 2019 offers go out this weekend. They offered 2 receivers, one from Memphis Central, who I saw play this year, and Shamar Nash, Rivals 250. I think he's a Rivals 100 receiver. And Jonathan Mingo from Brandon. I saw him play yesterday, and I was pretty impressed with him as well. He's going to grow a little bit more. I think he's about 6'1 right now, probably going to end up being 6'3. With that, yeah, they definitely have more time, and they can be able to start to watch film and evaluate and be prepared for what's coming.
This podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years, has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at FidelityMort.com. That's FidelityMort.com. Or call 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 103-919. 0. In general, how's Matt Luke being received as a permanent head coach? It looks like he has a tremendous amount of kind of momentum going right now, which I'm not surprised that he has momentum. I'm surprised that he has this kind of momentum, though.
Right, with 4 stars.
And that's not a knock at him. I would have said this about anybody who got the job. I just thought that the NCAA cloud would have lingered a little more than it did. I think it's great for Ole Miss that it hasn't really lingered at all. It appears to have just washed away.
It seems like it cleared out. As soon as the sanctions came out, it seemed like there was just like a large sigh of relief from both Luke and the staff. When it comes to recruits' perspective of Luke, you hear a lot of the same type of things that you would hear about Freeze. Obviously, he's not tweeting Bible verses or anything, but with Luke, what he does is he makes the kid feel wanted. That's what they say, and they always mention the family atmosphere and how comfortable they feel around him and how much he cares about his players in general, which is something to be said about, I guess, Luke as a person. And he always, and I mean always, keeps it honest with these kids. Kent White mentioned that several times when he would ask about the NCAA and he wasn't sure what was going to happen and he was a little worried about it, wanted to hold off on making his commitment public. Luke told him everything he knew at all times, which meant the world to White and possibly ended up sealing the deal with his commitment.
All right, so what am I missing here? Because everything's going to happen Wednesday, right? You don't anticipate any activity for Ole Miss Thursday and Friday. It's Wednesday and then done. Shut it down.
I hope not. I really hope there's not.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
three days of the signing period. I think that's. I mean, if you are going to keep this early signing period in the next few years, make it one day. I mean, maybe two at the most.
Yeah, I think you have 2 days.
You need to have three.
You might have a one day where you have some conflicts or mails or things get screwed up, but I'm with you. There's no reason to have 3 days of it. And I don't think anything will happen on that third day much, do you?
No, I don't. I don't think so at all. Maybe a couple surprises, but nothing Ole Miss related at all. Something else I wanted to get into was the Mississippi-Alabama game. Obviously, I wasn't in Hattiesburg, and neither were you this week, but we had quite a bit of coverage from our mainstay with Rivals.com, and a couple people who really impressed were Kevontae Ruggs, one of Ja'Cory Hawkins' teammates from Montgomery Lee. He had a really good week of practice, is what they were saying, but when it came down to the game, it just seemed like he was getting beat. Well, I mean, Alabama got handled mightily. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was 7-7 at halftime, and the game was out of hand by the end of the third quarter. But with Ruggs is another one waiting on that Alabama committable offer. His brother is there, and if they do miss on a couple of the other guys that they're in on, they're going to take him. Another one who did it was a New Hope tight end, Jeremy Tate. He's committed to Memphis as a wide receiver, but if any other bigger school is going to get in on him, they're going to get on him at tight end. I mean, he's got a big body, and he's really, really athletic, and he makes plays, and he made a couple really nice plays in the Mississippi-Alabama game. A couple of the commitments for Ole Miss that made an impact were Cam White from Madison Central, obviously. He played safety, as he will at Ole Miss, and he made quite a few plays. I know the running back for Team Alabama, who is getting ready to blow up, I know Ole Miss has reached out to him. I think it's Kavoisier Smoke. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but he's heard from Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, and
he had
Auburn.
A big day.
Yeah, he had
every
a big
once
day.
In a while that game creates an opportunity for kids.
Yeah,
it usually doesn't. It occasionally does.
Yeah, and then obviously everybody the talk on the message board all weekend was Tylan Knight from Pearl. I'm not sure if RebelGrove.com can take credit for his South Alabama offer, but you never know who's on the message boards looking at this stuff. I mean, Tylan Knight had a heck of a game. He was co-MVP with Kenny Gainwell, who I've mentioned multiple times as a potential fallback option at the running back position for Ole Miss if they do strike out on, you know, Charles Strong. I honestly do not see Ole Miss taking Jarvion Howard whatsoever in this class anymore, the running back from East Marion.
Why?
Just waited too long to pull the trigger. They've got better, not better options, I wouldn't say, but they've got people higher on their board that they're more interested in currently, and he had his chance to commit, basically, and didn't do it.
Yeah, and that's the risk, the early signing period for some kids.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't jump on it now, it might not be there in a month.
Right, that's the thing, especially with what the Louisiana at Lafayette, they got a coaching change, and several of their commitments are kind of in limbo. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if their scholarship's going to be honored. Same with South Alabama. You see South Alabama offering tons of kids that were had at Steve Campbell's when he was at Central Arkansas. He's offering commitments from UCA to come to USA, which is nice on paper, but when it comes down to playing football, I'm not quite sure that, you know, those commitments are going to make the impact in the Sun Belt that you would like.
So you were in Madison yesterday. What was that?
Now, that was the tryouts for the Mississippi Grind 7-on-7 team. There's quite a bit of talent there. Obviously, I got the chance to see Jackson Prep running back Jarian Ealy, who committed to Ole Miss this weekend.
You mispronounced outfielder.
You're right, Chicago Cubs outfielder Jarian Ealy. But, yeah, he obviously baseball. He's projected to go 14th in the 2019 draft is what he was telling me yesterday. He is a special athlete. It's not his choice to stay at Prep. He actually wants to go to Northwest Rankin and play baseball and football there, but it just hasn't come to fruition. His mom wants him to obviously get the education he can at Jackson Prep. And another one who really impressed was Jarian Jones, who actually does go to Northwest Rankin currently. He plays wide receiver. He also is a safety, but the more I see him play in person, the more I project him as a wide receiver. I know we've had Chad and a couple other national analysts who cover recruiting see him more as a safety, but he's got some explosiveness to be a slot receiver at the next level. Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma are all in on him.
Is there any chance they take a second quarterback? There's not, right?
They could. They could if the numbers match up and if – you know, they really don't like what they see and who else they have on the roster. I mean, having two quarterbacks is fine and dandy in the NFL, but usually you need three, and three quality, and especially in the SEC, the way injuries can happen.
Will Corral's signing with Ole Miss, will it hurt them with any quarterbacks in the next class? Or
no, not at all. I mean, if they wanted to sign a five-star quarterback, yeah, I'm sure it would. But if you want to sign, you know, if they sign a Mississippi kid, for example, let's say they take Hunter Holsey from Clinton, he wouldn't be affected by that whatsoever. Now, if you're talking on a national landscape, if you're recruiting nationally, like if you want to take a Grant Tisdale from Allen, yeah, you're definitely going to see a little bit of pushback. It's not afraid of competition. There's just obviously common sense. If Matt Corral signed there, he's I don't know if he's going to redshirt or not, but he's going to be the guy going forward after Tama leaves.
The Toon kid now goes to A&M?
If they offer, yes.
Would he have gone to Ole Miss if they had not gotten Corral?
Oh, yeah. He was signed, sealed, and delivered, basically. He was ready.
No chance he signs now, though.
No, none.
Okay. All right. The podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisitions buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right, as we kind of wrap up.
I just got a little bit of news.
Yeah.
Tupelo linebacker Jet Johnson is going to sign with Mississippi State on Wednesday. He was kind of in limbo about whether or not he wanted to sign early. He was another one who's kind of weighing his options about possibly hoping to get some reignited interest from Ole Miss. But he's going to sign with Mississippi State on Wednesday, which is good for them. I think, you know, he'll be a good kid. Fab Lovett and Malik Heath are both being pressured by the current staff at Mississippi State to sign early. I know Malik Heath wants to visit both Florida and Ole Miss in January, and they kind of are trying to fend them off as much as they possibly can. And with Lovett, who is, you know, awaiting a couple of test scores to come through, he's got Alabama and Ole Miss both flirting with him.
How is Moorhead doing? How's he being received? Compare it maybe to Luke.
People haven't really heard from him, to be honest. I mean, they've been hearing from a couple of the staffers that did stay. I believe his last name's Austin, one of the assistants there. they hear from him quite a bit, but it seems like Moorhead's kind of focused in on the national landscape, keeping the Alabama kids they have committed and kind of going there. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but the fact that they dropped quite a few kids in an attempt to take these two kids from Louisiana, the two four-stars, Corion Harris and Devontae Jason. If they get them, that's fine, but if not, you've burned quite a few bridges in the state of Mississippi for the chance to take these two four-star kids from Louisiana. So, I mean, that's definitely been perceived a little bit negatively in terms of the high school coaching landscape.
And they're getting ready for a bowl game. Greg Knox is the interim coach. Is he going to be on that staff next year? Where is he going? Is he going to Florida? What are you hear?
I believe he's going to end up at Florida. I believe that's kind of the what's been, not confirmed, but what's been, you know, said around town and everything. But if he's able to keep him on the staff, I mean, there's no way you don't do that. You need any type of continuity that you can possibly get right now down there.
Yeah, I just feels like a weird hire.
It was a weird hire.
I mean, he's a really good coach. He's very smart. He's an offensive genius. It just, from a fit standpoint,
I would have seen him more at a type of school who is in the Northeast. You know, possibly a Syracuse if Dino Babers would have left. Boston College if they would have fired Steve Adazio.
Yeah.
I mean, those would have been places that he would have lit it up.
And he might end up lighting it up. It just feels like that program's lost some momentum.
Yeah. Yes. And there's more momentum to be lost in the 2019 class.
Because I made a lot of people mad. I always just thought Mullen fit there oddly.
Yeah.
Even though he was culturally a different guy than there. He was able to figure out a way to identify with that fan base and kind of give them momentum. The program had momentum. Mississippi State as a program had momentum.
Yeah, they were looking up. They were looking up. I mean,
he was going to put together a hell of a 2019 class at Mississippi State, period.
He was. He was going to come into Lafayette and probably take Brandon Turnage.
Who now ends up at Ole Miss probably.
Yes, either Ole Miss or LSU.
Yeah. If you had to guess, and it's a year out, 2019 class from a ranking standpoint ends up roughly where?
Top 25, maybe top 20. Depends how many of these in-state kids they can get to stay. I mean, you've got so many defensive players in the Rivals 250 that are rated as four stars that you need to capitalize on that. And if you don't capitalize on that, then Mississippi State's likely going to, and LSU and Alabama could come back in and swoop them away. But I was doing some research over the past couple of weeks, and it seems like, for the most part, these kids in Mississippi like to stay home. They don't leave the state too often. Obviously, you've got your exceptions with Nigel Knott and a couple others. But
Cam Akers was a pretty big exception, but for the most part, you're right. Yeah, guys have stayed. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Akers, Nigel Knott, a couple other ones. But
yeah, Nigel wasn't even a big deal, really.
I mean,
the first one, the only one that's been a huge deal leaving the state in the last few years is Cam.
Yeah,
that was a big deal. People can minimize that all they want. Cam Akers leaving was a huge blow.
Right. You would have no need at running back if Ole Miss were to have signed him. He would have started from day one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had the...
It was a nail in Hugh Freeze's coffin. If the whole massage parlor thing hadn't happened, I think last season goes badly because I think he'd lost the locker room, and I think people would have started to talk about, wow, you know, he could have used Akers, didn't have him. Akers was a big deal.
That wasn't mentioned much at all this season, which I was really surprised about, but I think that, you know, goes to speak about the impact that Jordan Wilkins was able to have his senior year. I mean, it wasn't like coming into the season anybody expected him to rush for 1,000 yards. But with Cam, who knows what could have happened.
Yeah, Wilkins had a big year, and that took some pressure off of him, and he was able to stay basically healthy. And Matt and Derek Nix and those guys did a really good job of nursing him through those final few weeks of the year when he really didn't practice. He just played. That was to their credit. All right, so as we wrap up, you're heading to Ohio later the week?
I am. I will be heading that way towards Akron on Friday. I'm going to make a stop in Cincinnati and catch up with Chris Oates a little bit and then have a story up. And then I'll be in Akron for Christmas, and then I'll be back before the new year.
Okay. Well, we will probably not have a soft verbal next week. It's going to be Russell will have a ton of content on the site at rebelgrove.com. Also, if you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, RebelGrove.com is the gift that keeps on giving the whole year. It's sort of like the Jelly of the Month Club, except it's the Jelly of the Day Club. Russell will have updates all week and through all the action on Wednesday, and then things will, from a recruiting standpoint, it'll die down a little bit.
Yeah, the coaches get some much-needed time off. That's what they've said, at least. They get a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
Be about 2 weeks. They go home, see their families.
Yeah.
Take a road trip or two. I mean, that'll be nice for them. They'll still be talking to recruits, obviously, but it'll be nice for them to get a chance to take a step back for a little bit.
And then we'll come back after the new year, and we'll reset and get you ready for what should be a pretty eventful month of January on the recruiting trail at Ole Miss and elsewhere. So for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. We will see you back here in 2018. Until then, goodbye.